And if you're just joining us, this is Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz, and it's now time for music. I need to be myself. I can't be no one else. At its height in the mid-1990s, the British band Oasis was the biggest rock act in the world. Bigger than U2, bigger even, some argued, than the Beatles. And at the heart of Oasis, two volatile personalities who happen to be brothers, Noel and Liam Gallagher. Noel, the main songwriter, and Liam, the lead singer. Here's a sample of how they got on.
He's right.
Rock and roll is about being yourself.
And with their fiery tempers and very public spats, the Gallagher brothers made the covers of tabloids as often as they topped the pop charts. But one night, 3 years ago, Oasis burned out, and it happened suddenly, a now famous meltdown backstage before a show. Oasis never performed that night. The estranged brothers went their separate ways. Liam started his own band. So did Noel. His band's called Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Last week, Noel Gallagher stopped by our studios to talk about the new record, fatherhood, sibling rivalry, and of course, Oasis. The day after his old band split, a message from Noel on their website read, "I simply could not go on working with Liam a day longer."
Well, that's my manager, actually. That was his state, because I quit and I went and that was it.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get hold of me for days. I had a private jet and took my wife and children off to the south of France, like proper rock stars do. The reason that I left was because I didn't see much of, after what, I don't want to really go into specifics about what was said and blah, blah, blah and all that, but in a moment of clarity, I thought that there is no future in this. Mm. And I wish I'd have stayed and done the gig. We were backstage waiting to go on stage.
And this is
to
in Paris.
30,000 people in Paris. And as the tour manager came in and said, 5 minutes, you know, we broke up within that 5 minutes. Mm. I'm not proud of that, but, you know, all things come to an end. And I think the level of success that Liam's and Gem's and Andy's new band have had, BDI, and what I'm doing now, proves that it was the right decision for everyone. You know, everybody's a lot happier. And I think it was the right thing. It was certainly the right thing for me to do.
I remember seeing you perform at the Boston Orpheum in 1995 when Morning Glory came out, which was a huge record, and it was an amazing show, but it was also this time when, you know, your performances were erratic. I mean your brother didn't finish the show. He was drunk. He couldn't finish it. You finished it beautifully, and you sang most of the songs that people came to hear, but it was clear that something wasn't right at that time.
We all dealt with that level of success and fame in different ways. When the album took off in America, that album, Morning Glory, it was everything that I'd expected. So I knew how I was going to deal with it all. My outlook has never changed. It's like I'm still living someone else's dream. This is the best thing in the world, you know, and long may it continue. It's like, why isn't the Rolling Stones are still doing it at 100, at a combined age of 1,050? It's because it's the best thing in the world.
You and your brother, you have two brothers, and you were essentially raised by a single mom because your dad left when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You grew up in a council estate, what we would call a housing project. Not an easy upbringing in Manchester.
No, but at the time, my mum and all my aunties and all my cousins all lived within the same 5 mile radius. They worked in factories. So your whole world is there. So you don't know there's another world outside of this where people are middle class and stuff like that. So at the time, it wasn't a hard life. That was just life. But you know what? That gave you something else. That gave you a toughness in a sense that, you know, if I'm on the tour bus in America and, you know, I've got to go to another show and I'm not feeling too well, I just think back to those days and think, well, you know, I lived in a house with bare floorboards, right? Before bare floorboards were trendy.
And your mom still lives there, right?
She still lives in the same house. She's got carpet now, though, obviously. But she still lives in the same house.
You were married a few years ago. Your wife is, her name is Sarah. You've got two children, right?
I was married last summer.
Forgive me, last summer. I'm sorry. But you were together for so long that I...
You've been together for 12 years. Yeah. I've got two boys.
One is about four. One is a little bit more than one, right?
One is four and one is one and a bit, yes.
Given that you really didn't grow up with a dad, how did you learn how to be a father?
I don't think you ever learn. I just think you kind of... There are lots of books when you go into bookshops about parenting.
Yes, there are.
None of them are warranted, and none of them is the Bible or the truth, because really, there are no set rules. You just bumble along, and hopefully, you know, you just love your children. Ronnie Wood said that to me once. Sorry to name drop, but I was at a party at Ronnie Wood's house, right? And was that his 50th?
Yeah.
He had kids, loads of kids, and he just said... The one thing you do is just love them. Everything else comes from that. That's it. And it's a beautiful hippie 60s attitude, but it's true. Mm. I mean, I'm luckily enough, the worst thing I've got to say is when I'm packing to leave and my older lad can sense what's
going on. Yeah, you're gone this time around for like 7 weeks.
Yeah, and then when the cases are going in the car, he starts grabbing your ankles and going, "Oh, Dad," you know, that is really tough. But you have to say to him, look, just the longer I'm away... the more toys you're going to get when I come back. And he's like, oh.
And they're great toys in America.
Well, he thinks, I've convinced him, which I didn't realise this would come back to haunt me, but I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles making this record. I was there for about 3 months on and off. And every time I came back, I'd bring him more toys. And I told him as a joke one night that Los Angeles was where they made all the toys in the world. He's coming to Los Angeles for the first time in his life on holiday. And he's going, Los Angeles, that's where they make all the toys. And I was like, really? Who told you that? And he said, you told me that's where they make all these toys. And I was like, and he said, can we go to the place where they make them? I might have told him I knew the guy that made the toys. And I was like, well, strictly that's not true. They do sell a lot of toys in Los Angeles. They sell them, you know, but he's going to have the time of his life, I think.
I'm speaking with Noel Gallagher, formerly of the band Oasis. His latest solo album is called Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. When you sat down to write this record and began to sort of arrange it, what did you set out to do? What did you want this record to sound like?
I had a very clear idea that I wanted it to sound cinematic, but at the same time intimate and direct. It was very liberating. But when you're in a band and there's five of you, you have to accommodate five people in every song. And it became very difficult in Oasis, so everybody has to have their little bit. It was great just to free up everything and just the most direct songs you could just... There's no need for three or four guitars. It was just me and a voice and a guitar. And, do you know what I mean? So the simple songs became very simple and the more elaborate ones became more elaborate. And I've had the best time making this record. You can't fight the feeling and all is the same. The pouring rain, you know, coming out of the
Do you talk to other, you know, for lack of a better term, rock stars about coping with what happens when you transition to...
Well, I mean, I was always of the opinion of, like, how hard can it be?
Right.
You know, people take music and their role in it so seriously.
Hmm.
And I think what I've tried to do is just take a step back and go, it's only music. And I kept saying this thing to myself when I was making the record. It's only a record. But everyone's like, oh, it's your first solo record. Oh, my God, what's he going to do? And it's like, but it's only a record. And if people don't like it, I'll make another one. So it's only a gig. You know, it's not like everybody's waiting for me to come up with the cure for cancer and me deliver it and it doesn't work. And everybody go, yeah, well, that didn't work. So, you know, see you later. It's like, it's only music. When we were actually the biggest bona fide band in the world, I never took that too seriously.
Mm.
Because it's a ludicrous position to be in.
Even though your songs were, I mean, life-changing for many, many people.
Yeah, but you see, it became to us so quickly that when Morning Glory blew up and it was on its 18 million sale and we were in the States, you know, America is a very corporate country, and the American music business is very corporate, and they really didn't get what we were about as people, because it was too soon from us being unemployed to being the biggest band in the world for us to care. Do you know what I mean? So we're kind of sat in these offices in New York. We'd only signed off unemployment benefit like 18 months before. So we're still in that mindset of like, this is just some giant party that we've gatecrashed somehow.
You are on tour, obviously, in the US right now. Are you performing Oasis material?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I'm not going to throw that stuff away.
Yeah.
When I was rehearsing for the tour, I played every single song off the album except one and all the B-sides. And I thought, well, that'll do. And I'll throw in a few Oasis numbers at the end. You know, I'm not going to be let out of a venue without doing at least Don't Look Back in Anger. And we timed the set and it was like 38 minutes. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to charge an extortionate amount of money for that. So I'm going to have to pad this out somehow.
Right.
And they're my songs. Oasis didn't write them.
Right.
I wrote those myself. All the words, all the arrangements, everything was written by me. So I don't feel guilty like I'm cheating on my girlfriend or something. You know. And I do like 7 or 8, but I'm not going to throw that stuff away. It's kind of me.
Talk to your brother, by the way, regularly?
Liam?
Yeah.
No, I spoke to him at Christmas.
Well, you guys always kind of, he's your younger brother, so presumably part of it is he looked up to you as a kid.
I can't speak for Liam, do you know what I mean? But I can only, from my own view on it all, I was grateful for the dynamic that we had. I thought it was great. You know
Does your mom ever intervene?
Oh, of course, all the time. She can't help but interfere. She's Irish, that's what she does. She gets up in the morning, she has breakfast, she sticks her nose into our That's what they do.
You sure she's not Jewish?
She could well have the Jewish gene in her.
Like my mom.
Yeah.
She gives you grief for not calling her.
It's a relentless... And what another thing my mom likes doing, bless her, is she'll call you up and say, remember such and such a person who lived next door when you were like 4 years old? And you go, no. And she'd go, yes, you do, yes, you do. Her mother was not good with ginger hair. No, I really don't. Yes, you do. They had a big black dog called Bimbo. I really don't. Yes, you do. You used to knock around with their... And it would go on for ages. So in the end, you just say yes, just to show up. And you go, oh, yes, that woman would say yeah. Well, she's dead. And you're like, right, well, this is 10 to 8 in the morning. That's a nice thought for the day. Is there anything else I can do for you? No.
That's Noel Gallagher. He's a founding member of the band Oasis. His latest solo record is called Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. You can hear a few tracks at our website, nprmusic.org. Noel Gallagher, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. And all the roads that lead you there were winding.
And for Saturday, that's Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. We're back with a whole new hour of radio tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night.